Hey, good morning. Happy Easter. It is great to have you here with us. It is possible that this is your first time here today, and we want to welcome you, say you're among friends. I thought I'd give you a little rundown of what's happening today. You're coming to a church, maybe you've not been here before. In fact, some of you feel like you've never been here before because we moved the aisle on you. You're like, where'd my chair go? And I'm like dressed up, and you're like, wait, what? It's either Christmas, Easter, or my funeral. Pinch, I'm alive. Okay, it's one of the others. Anyway, wanted a chance to let you know who is leading us today. So you kind of go down the line here. This is Vivian. Vivian is officially the fastest person in the church, I promise. You want to challenge her to race later? You got problems. This is Tyler. Tyler is just like mad skilled at the guitar, beautiful vocals. Shelly can play anything you put in her hand. It's just, it's crazy. Cajon, you name it, she goes nuts on that. Stephanie, when you hear Stephanie sing, you will get an idea of what it's going to be like when we're in heaven listening to angels. Stephen is the new guy in the group. He shocked us all with his tremendous ability to play keys. John doesn't want to hear us, so he's wearing headphones. John's the grandpa of the group. Everybody needs a grandpa, right? And my name is Dennis, and down here, why don't you go ahead and stand and wave. This is Brian, and Brian will be doing some reading later and talking to us about what's going on. So we're going to be talking a little bit later about fishing. I hope that you enjoy fishing. Got some talking to do about that. And one other thing, and that is that we do enjoy singing. And today you walk in and you're like, okay, is this one of those churches that sings like 89 songs in a row and makes us stand? And, oh, it's two, all right? Two songs. I know you can endure it. You're able somehow to stand through the whole seventh inning stretch. You're able to do all that. So for two songs, if you don't know the songs, listen and absorb them. I promise it won't take too long before you will learn them. So let's go ahead and stand together. Father God in heaven, we are grateful today for Jesus. We are grateful for his death, burial, and resurrection, and that he overcame the grave, death, sin, hell, and he overcomes on our behalf today. We celebrate Jesus and thank him for his sacrifice for our sin. Amen.
Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and he believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside of the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over and looked into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the feet. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They've taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they've put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" Thinking he was only the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've put him, and I will go and get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God, and to your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. Jesus did many other things as well, but if every one of them were written down, I suppose even the whole world would not have enough room for the books that would be written.
I love that passage. I love the way John just puts that part. 21 chapters, but I could write a library about this guy. It's good to be able to celebrate Easter with you. I was thinking back, we were talking about Easter memories not too long ago. Shelley was in a group, and we asked, what was one of your favorite Easter memories? And she said, remember the year that we didn't have carpet or anything on the floor, only underlayment, and you guys stamped Easter bunny footprints across the floor and left us all to wonder. And that one got her. I was thinking, though, memories of the way your mother used to dress you for Easter.
The way she dressed me for Easter wasn't much different from the way she dressed me for kindergarten. So it was a traumatizing life.
That's the true statement. True statement. So our servers are coming right now to receive the offering, and you have two great opportunities to tell us about for students and kids of our church and community.
Kids from kindergarten up through high school have something amazing planned for them this summer. The first that I'm going to talk about is Green Lake, because that's our junior high and high school trip. So if you are entering sixth grade in the fall, or you are leaving for college in the fall, any age in between there, you are welcome and invited to come with us to our Green Lake missions trip. We go up to a conference center in Green Lake, Wisconsin, and we basically fulfill the work that they need done that they aren't able to handle on their own. These jobs range everything from cutting weeds and trimming back brush all the way up to putting a roof on and doing electrical work. So there's all different kinds of work to be done up at the conference center that we have the honor of partaking in. But we also have a lot of really fun stuff planned, from all types of big games that we haven't played up there yet, jet skis, all kinds of really crazy stuff. So if you have any questions about that, you can go ahead and visit southfieldchurch.com, go over to the News and Events tab, and check out any of the information on that. Or you can ask pretty much anyone around here who's a regular, because I guarantee you they've either been to Green Lake themselves, or they've had a child come along, and they can tell you more than this announcement ever could.
So Ben Mott, who's the head of the conference center, was here this past week. We got to spend a couple of days with him, and actually your mother and I are headed up this week to look at work projects. Yeah. So putting together the list, we're excited about it. The one thing that really needs to be stressed with this, what days does registration close?
May 1st.
May 1.
And that is like,
hard break right
there. A few days away, and the difference this year, we legitimately have to have a hard deadline. I know in years past, we've kind of been like, you can sign up until the day before. Not this year. Not with the way that the things that we've had to change. We've got more vans reserved than ever. We've got more rooms reserved than ever, and we need to give them accurate numbers by May 2nd. So on May 1st, that's it. So please, if you've been putting this off, or if you've been wondering, is this something that I go to? Is this something that I'm going to sign up for? Please do it soon. And if money is the issue, if the cost of the trip is the reason that you've kind of been holding back, please come and talk to me right after service, because that is not that's not an excuse that we like hearing. So if that is the issue, please come and talk to me, because we have some super generous people in our church who've offered to help with that, to make sure that that all of our students can go.
So some of you got really thrown off. Long, cold winter. Still feels like we're in February. Yeah. Finally breaking, late Easter, you're thinking, May, that's like 2 months away. No, it's like 2 weeks away, so get on it. Yeah. Now, the other opportunity is Quest.
Yes.
Fun coming for our elementary school students really soon.
Plans are flying for Quest. I'm so excited to hear all the details and everything that is going to be happening during our week-long Quest camp. And again, that is for kindergarten up through fifth grade. And I'm telling you, each year that we've done this, it seems like it keeps getting better. I don't know how, because the first year was amazing. Last year was incredible. Like, I don't know how they're going to keep making this thing more intense and bigger and more fun, but somehow they've managed to do it. So that registration is actually going to open on May 1st.
Right.
So if you have any elementary school kids, Make sure you get them signed up as soon as possible. If they have friends or cousins or anything, anybody who would like to come along to that, again, it runs Monday to Thursday, and it's a whole day thing. So if nothing else, hey, send your kids for a free babysitting, right? And they're going to learn about Jesus too. So again, it's way too cool. Just an amazing event that you want to start telling people about now so that they're ready and can get registered and have plenty of time to...
If you're kind of having memories of, you know, the vacation Bible school you went to, like stale cookies and lemonade and all that kind of stuff.
No.
This is like, you know, VBS on steroids, okay? It's just, it's nuts. It's really, it is a wild week. So you'll want to get registered for that. And you always have students meeting here. High school is Sunday night, junior high is Wednesday night. Hop in great groups, so lots of opportunities for kids around Southfield.
Yeah, so that is the other thing about Green Lake registration. Tonight you would have been a night that I would have been like hounding kids, like, hey, all right, I know that you're coming. You need to actually go on the website and like put your name in and stuff. We're not meeting tonight, so I'm not going to be able to do that, so I'm going to have to do that through text messages. So again, please just know that Revive is off tonight. Refuge for junior high this Wednesday, 6:30 to 8:30, and we'll get rolling back with Revive next week.
So we're about 2 minutes away from our teaching this morning. I want you to watch this first to set it up.
Our story is Adam and Eve's story. We were hiding in the garden, making excuses for our sin, unable to cover up our shame. Our story is Jonah's story. We were running from God, denying our calling, surrounded by a raging sea. Our story is a prodigal son's story. We were wasting our blessings, lost in our failures, too afraid to return home. Our story is Peter's story. We were unbelieving, full of fear and doubt, our faith slowly sinking beneath the waves. But that is not the end of our story. We are all longing to be restored. We want to stop running. We want to be found. We want to believe, and we are crying out for a Savior. So God stepped in, into a broken world, into human form, into our very lives. God stepped into our mess, into our sin, into our failure, our fear, our doubt. He stepped into death, and the door shut behind him. And then he arose and left it all in the grave. He wiped clean our story and started writing a new one. One without shame, without fear, without death. A story full of love and forgiveness. A story of redemption and restoration. It's our life story. It's his story. It's a resurrection story.
I don't know if you've spent much time reading the Bible. There are lots of different ways you can read the Bible. One is just kind of a real intellectual approach. You're doing word studies and all that sort of thing. Another way to read the Bible, though, is to actually place yourself in the story. Imagine yourself as one of the characters. See the sights, smell the smells, feel the emotion, make the decision that the person in the story does. To just kind of really live into the story of Scripture. So what if today you were to live into the story of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus? From Palm Sunday to Easter Sunday, what if you were to live into that story? If you were to do that today, and if you were looking for a character to identify with, who would it be? My guess is that most of us would probably not say they were Mary. You know, that's maybe a little too lofty a goal, or maybe like John, who stood at the bottom of the cross. He refers to himself as the disciple Jesus loved. I don't know if you're that type. I'm the one God loves. I don't know about you. I'm the one God loves. Some of us might feel a little awkward about that, right? We probably don't go to the opposite end of the story, too. Few of us would think of ourselves as Judas or Pilate washing their hands. We'd probably find ourselves somewhere in the middle. I think Peter's in the middle. Peter's in the middle. Peter is a guy that as we look at his story, we kind of go, I can relate to that guy. I get who he is because I'm kind of that person. Peter had this ability to speak boldly. And sometimes his bold declarations were spot on. And some of them, they were so off base that Jesus had to say, get behind me. I mean, what in the world are you talking about, Peter? Stop it. He comes to the week of Jesus' death. And at the table, at the Lord's Supper, he makes this declaration. He says, I will defend you to death. And Jesus says, well, actually, you're not going to defend me. You're going to deny me. You're going to deny me once and twice and three times. See, I think part of the reason that we can identify with Peter is because a lot of us are great at bold declarations with little follow through, right? We will declare, this is what's going to happen. This is what's going to change in my life. This is what's going to change in my marriage. This is what's going to change at work. This is what's going to change. But then there's little follow through. I was going to be 185 by this Easter. This part is 185, okay? Bold declaration, yeah, but I like chocolate. We can relate to Peter because we're pretty good at bold declarations with little follow-through. And so imagine what it's like when Peter runs to the tomb and it's empty and he goes, I denied this guy. Once, twice, three times, I said I'd stand with him and I denied him. What do I do with that? We read in John chapter 21, I read this with a group of people at the beginning of Lent, and this passage has just stuck with me all of the Lenten season. We read at the beginning of John 21 that Jesus appeared to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. So it's another appearance. This is actually the third time Jesus appeared. First time is the night of the resurrection. Second time a week later to say, no, Thomas, for real, I'm here. And now this time. And he's there. By the sea, and John says, this is how it happened. This is what the story looks like. He says a bunch of the disciples were there, Simon Peter, Nathanael, Zebedee, two other disciples. And what does Peter say? I'm going fishing. Peter started out as a fisherman. You may remember, he's by the seashore, and Jesus comes and says, come follow me, and I'll show you how to fish for people. What does Peter do when he realizes the seriousness and the depth of his sin? What does he do when he realizes the seriousness and depth of what he's done to Jesus? He goes back to the thing that's most familiar. He goes back to the start. He goes back, he says, I'm going back to fishing. I think a lot of us do that. When we mess up royally, we say, I got to figure my way back. And we kind of go, we go all the way back to the beginning. We go back and we say, I remember what this is all about. I'm comfortable here. This is something that I know. I'm going back to fishing. I'm going back to what I used to be, to that place where I was before Jesus came into my life. I'm going back. I got to rediscover where I was. Now, he says, I'm going fishing, and the other disciples say, well, we'll go along. Why not? What else do we have to do? And so they head out. It says they got into the boat, and they caught nothing all night long. You may be wondering, why fish at night? Well, they'd fish at night to catch the fish to go to market and sell them in the morning. So they fished all night. They've caught nothing. I got to tell you, being a person who likes to fish, I like to fish, but I really like to catch. Right? I mean, it's one thing to fish, but I like to catch. People who fish like to catch. So when you have a boat full of people who have been fishing all night and not catching, you have some people who are not in a great mood, right? Early in the morning, there's a figure standing on the shore. Jesus. They don't recognize him yet. And what does Jesus do? He calls out to these guys in the boat. Friends, do you have any fish? This is what people who fish do. You're walking a shoreline. Catch anything? Catch anything? Catch anything? I'm serious. This is what they do. This is the line people use. Catch anything? Jesus is joining the regiment. Catch anything? Boat full of people. No. I have an idea. Take your net and throw it to the other side. Now, people who fish hate not catching fish. They hate telling people they haven't caught any fish, but they really hate people who say, this is what you should try. Bugs them, you know. I've been out here all night, and you're just standing there on the shore doing nothing, and you're going to tell me how to fish? You kidding me? But people who fish also have to try the idea. I mean, go to Bass Pro anywhere. You'll see the ugliest, weirdest things to catch fish. You know, blue little pieces of plastic. You're like, that wouldn't catch anything. You're imagining yourself a fish. I would not eat that, right? But hey, you got to try it. You got to try it. So what do? They go ahead and they throw that net to the other side. And when they do, the net is so full that they're unable to pull in what's going on here. And you know what this does? This catches their attention. They go, wait, what? The fish were right there? And I suspect they started to pull the nets and they went, who be that? And they're starting to go, oh, I know who that is. I know who that is. I've got a pretty good idea of who that is. In fact, it's John, who again refers to himself, disciple whom Jesus loved. I just want one of you around church to do that. I'm the person God loves. Anyway, he says, it is the Lord. It is the Lord. And as soon as Peter heard it, what does it say? He wrapped around his outer garment, for he took it off and he jumped into the water. Now, I always read this part and I go, when I go swimming, I take things off. Not everything, but I take things off, right? I get as light as I can. I want to float. I'm not going to jump in a, you know, wool coat or something. I take things off. What does he do? He wraps his coat around him before he jumps in the water. Now, I don't totally know why he did this, but let's go here with this. Everything about Peter right now is shame. 3 times I have denied my Lord, and now I know it's him on the shore, and I'm going to do everything I can to cover me up. I think for a lot of us, when we blow it, we go back to something familiar. I just got to start over again. And when we blow it, we cover up. We don't want anybody to see what's really going on here. We hide. And that's what Peter was doing in this moment. He's hiding. He jumps in. The other disciples go ahead and pull the net on up to the shore. They get there. And there's this fire already there. All right? There's this fire already there, and there are fish on the fire. Can you imagine this? I mean, all night long they've been fishing. Jesus found fish. He probably made them, but anyway, you know, boom, here, fish. Now this is what gets really beautiful about this story. Jesus has this meal going, but what does he say to the disciples? Bring some of the fish you just caught. This is what I love about Jesus. Jesus is an inviter. He's always extending an invitation. He's always saying, come on, you bring yours too. He could have said, I made my fish. How did you get yours? You don't need anything better than the meal I'm bringing for you. I'm God. I did this for you. No, he says, you bring your fish. He invites Peter. He invites these disciples to bring what they had. Do you hear a door cracking open? Do you hear a door cracking open as Jesus says to Peter, I know you're embarrassed. I know you're ashamed, but I want you to bring to me what you have. I want you to share with me what you have. So Simon climbed back in the boat, dragged the net ashore. It's full of fish, 153 fish. There are so many sermons about the theology of the 153 fish. Here's the simple theology. Fishermen count their fish. Of course, if you have a big haul, you're going to say, I have 150 fish. Not just 153 fish, very specific. come have breakfast with me. And I love this. They're having breakfast, and they're all kind of looking at Jesus, and they know who he is, but they don't say a word about it. You know, have you ever been in that spot where you've been kind of like, I know this person, but I can't remember their name, but I know this person, but Oh, they remember his name, but they don't really want to bring it up. Is this a ghost? Are you seeing what I'm seeing? So they're sitting. This is the third time he's appeared. The meal has ended. I'm kind of glad Jesus waited for the meal to end. Because I don't know about you, but I don't do well eating in tension. He's staring at Jesus. Once, I never knew you. Twice, I never knew you. Three times, swear, I never knew you. He's staring at Jesus. He knows he's blown it big time. And Jesus asks a question. Simon, son of John. And you're like, wait, where did this Simon come from? I thought we were talking about Peter. Do you remember that Jesus gave Peter his name? He says, I'm going to call you the rock. Big, strong. I'm going to call you the rock. He goes back to his original name, to his pre-call name. He says, Simon. And he's going, you want to go back to fishing? I'm going to go back to your first name. Simon, son of John. Do you love me more than these? Now, a lot of sermons as well have been done on what is these? These, the fishing equipment, the fish, these, the disciples. What's these? I think we can almost fill in the blank because I'll tell you what, you have a these. We all have a these. We all have something that we might love a little more than God. And God's saying, and Jesus is saying in this moment, do you love me more than anything? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. You know it. I don't even have to say it. You know it. And then he says, feed my lambs. So interesting. The first call was, follow me, I will teach you how to fish for people. And now he says, follow me, and I'm going to teach you how to be a shepherd, just like me. You got to think Peter's deep breath. Whew, that's over. Thank goodness. Have you ever had an interaction with somebody that didn't go positively, and then you see them the next time, and you kind of talk, and it seems smoothed out, and you're like, okay, good. We can go on from here. No. Jesus doesn't leave it there. Again, Jesus says, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Just said it a minute ago. Take care of my sheep. Hearing the new call, not just a fisherman, but a shepherd as well. Three times. Sounding familiar? Three denials, three questions. Simon, son of John. Do you love me? It says Peter was hurt because he asked the third time. If you're dealing with shame, here's the thing. You gotta look face first into your shame. You gotta stare it down. And you gotta get over it. And the only way you're gonna get over it is not putting your coat on again and not going back to square one. The only way you're gonna get over it is to stare it in the eyes. He's full of shame. It says in this moment that he was hurt because Jesus asked it a third time, do you love me? Lord, you know all things. You know I love you. And time number three again, feed my sheep. Now it's interesting because then Jesus goes into this thing that you're kind of like, where'd that come from? He starts telling him, he says, when you were young, people used to dress you just like Brian's mom used to dress him in Easter clothes. When you were young, you dressed yourself. But when you're older, other people are going to dress you. And this whole thing, it seems kind of convoluted, but when it comes down to it, it says Jesus was telling him what kind of death he would die. And then he says this at the end, follow me, follow me. You know what he's saying? He's saying, following me is going to cost you something. Following me is literally, Peter, going to cost you your life. Do you want to do this or not? This isn't going to lead to you writing a couple of books of the Bible and being real popular. This is going to lead to your death. Do you still choose to follow me? Do you still choose to do this? It is a completely life-changing decision. He makes this statement, and then what follows is really interesting, because again, this is what we do when we're dealing with our shame, right? Peter looked around, saw him behind him, the disciple that Jesus loved, the one who leaned on him during supper, who asked, who's going to betray you? And Peter asked, what about him, Lord? He going to die? Someone going to address him? What's going to happen over there? Don't we do this? Don't we kind of, in our shame, go, yeah, but he's worse. Yeah, but you should see what she did. You know, and pointing. And I know this isn't what it means, but I'm old, okay? Jesus just kind of looks at him and goes, you be you. I want you to focus on you. I want you to focus on you. I don't want you to look around. I want you to focus on you. What's going on with you? What's going on in your heart? Do you want to follow me? Don't worry about John. If I want him to live for 1,000,000 years, he's going to live for 1,000,000 years. You focus on you. And that's really what we're about here today. Because I suspect you might have brought somebody and you're thinking about them, or you might be looking around the room and going, oh, I'm glad that pagan's finally here, or whatever. You're looking at someone else. And Jesus is saying, I'm sorry, I brought your heart here today for you to deal with you, for you to think about you. Where are you? What I love is that when Peter writes his epistle in 1 Peter chapter 5, he says, I'm an elder and I'm writing to elders. He says, here's what he says, be shepherds of the flock of God that is under your care. He says, just like the chief shepherd, just like Jesus, be a shepherd. What we know is that that Peter reached out and received that call once again. He received the forgiveness. He reached out. He said, yes, Lord, I do believe. I do believe. I'm back. You might have so much shame in your life. You might have done so much wrong that if you were to use this kind of language, you would think of yourself as irredeemable. There are people God loves. There are people who can say, I'm the person God loves. And then there's you saying, if you had any idea what I did, you wouldn't even let me in the door today. And God wants you to share down the shame because he wants to say to you 3 times, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And he wants to hear the yes. He wants to bring you into his family. The word we use for this is gospel. Interesting word. The word really breaks down to mean good news. Man, we need some good news. News just sinks these days. I'm on a news fast. I can't stand watching the news. You know, between, you know, fake news, bad news, propaganda on both sides, it's not news. I don't want to hear news anymore. I need some good news. You need some good news. We need good news. The Bible is full of good news. That's what this path to God is called. It's called the gospel. It's really good news that Jesus brought to us. What's the good news? I give you 3 words to define the good news. First of all, the good news is it's incredibly simple. It's simple. The Apostle Paul writes this: for what I received, I passed on of first importance. Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. He was buried. He rose the 3rd day according to the scripture. And then it goes on to give this list of people who saw him. Eyewitnesses, over 500 people saw Jesus, saw him alive. Please don't miss the part. It doesn't just say Christ died, how sad. It said Christ died for our sin. That shame you're bearing, Christ died for that. That sin you're bearing, Christ died for that. That wrongdoing that's been going on in your life, Christ died for that. So simple. In fact, so simple that some people go, I want nothing to do with that. It's got to be harder. Got to be something more I do. There's got to be some harder effort I put into this. And it says, no, Christ died for my sin. And so I receive the payment Jesus made for my sin. And the sin and the shame can be gone. It's simple. It's really simple. The gospel is simple, and the gospel is also straightforward. Listen to these words straight from the mouth of Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's as straightforward as it gets. You're like, really? You believe Jesus is the only way to heaven? Well, I believe what Jesus says. And this is what Jesus says. He's been there. He knows the Father. He knows the message of the Father. It's straightforward. He says, you want your sin removed. Christ died for our sin. Simple, straightforward. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. I'm the one who can give you the forgiveness you need to realize that fresh start you've been longing for. It's straightforward. And it's really simple. and it requires sincerity. Now, what do I mean by sincerity? Somebody reminded me of this illustration not too long ago. I had kind of forgotten about it. So our whole life, Pap family life, has kind of centered on Interstate 55. Kim spent a lot of her childhood in Bloomington, smack dab in the middle of this thing. We went to seminary up in Deerfield, did a lot of trips down 55 to Bloomington to see her family. First job, St. Louis. Head down to St. Louis. Now we're getting to know that way really, really well. I mean, right now, and then of course we plant in the middle of it. Here we are in Joliet. We live on 55. You could pretty much take my body right now, pick me up, plop me somewhere on 55. I go, yep, here we are, exit 53. I mean, I recognize, I can do it in my sleep. I know 55. So we head on out Route 6, and we have a choice. We can go north or we can go south. And I want to go to Chicago. I'm just going to flatly tell you, if I want to go to Chicago, I'm getting on the north ramp, okay? If I don't go to St. Louis, I'm heading on the south ramp. But what if I sincerely believed that if I head south, I'll get to Chicago? But I'm sincere, really sincere. I'm going to see that thing, the arch. And the arch isn't in Chicago. What if I want to go to St. Louis, but I get on that north ramp and I say, I know St. Louis is going to be there. I believe it. I sincerely believe it. And there's that tower that used to be called Sears. I don't get it. What happened? I was sincere. A lot of people sincerely believe something's going to get them to heaven or into a relationship with God. That is not true. But we do have to sincerely believe what Jesus said. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's the only way to get rid of your sin. That's the only way to sweep away that shame. That's the only way to experience what Peter experienced, a fresh call to a relationship with God. Beautiful ending of that chapter. Brian read it. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and by believing you might have life in his name. You have to believe it. You have to believe that you've sinned and done wrong things, and those wrong things have separated you from God. And you know what? You feel that separation. You know it's there. You have to believe that Jesus came and died to pay for that sin for you. You have to sincerely believe that he is the way, he is the truth, he is the life. And no one comes to the Father except through him. And that is one of the main reasons we are here today, to once again ask that question. So, do you sincerely believe that? I'm going to go ahead and bow your head for a moment, or just look at the floor. And I want to ask you, if you've not yet believed that, what in the world are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? Can you with sincerity right now tell God, I know I have sinned. I am not as bad as I could be, but I know I am not as good as I could be. I've sinned. Can you tell God right now, I have tried and tried and tried to take away this sin? It won't go away. The shame is still there. Can you tell God, I believe what that guy just said? And he said what Jesus said. That Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through him. Can you tell them that? It's simple, it's straightforward, and it requires sincerity. Put yourself in the story. You're sitting at the fire and Jesus is looking in your eyes. Do you love me? Can you say, yes, Lord, you know I love you? He wants to give you a fresh start. not sending you back what you did in the first place, but a whole new beginning. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, we beg you today, open blind eyes, spiritually blind eyes to see. Help us to see our sin and our need for a Savior, and that we can have that fresh start, that new beginning that we long for so desperately. In the name of Jesus, amen. Our team is coming to lead us in a final song, beautiful song that expresses what the resurrection is all about. And I'm going to ask you to do something today that is unusual, daring, but just kind of really seals what you've done here. If you prayed today, Lord Jesus Christ, I've sinned, I need you, I need you, I need that new beginning. Or if today, just like Peter, you've realized, you know, I have a relationship with God, but it is fresh start time. I need to hear the call all over again. On Good Friday, we did something. We had a plank of wood and a strip of paper that said, "My sin, not in part but the whole, is nailed to the cross and I bear it no more." Words from a beautiful song of the church. And if you did that today, as your way of just kind of sealing that commitment, while this song is singing, why don't you go ahead and leave your seat, come on up, and there's a board laying on either side in front of the table and a hammer and nails and a piece of paper. Would you take that, put it on it, and just go ahead and pound that hammer in? You're like, "But I'm going to ruin the rhythm." Oh, no, 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 no. They'll love it. You're like, "Well, but the rows are a little tight. I won't get..." Believe me, people around you will be glad to let you out, okay? You may be like, "I don't want to go alone." Well, ask your friend. "Come on with me. I want to go do this thing." You know, I saw a news story this morning that 100 people died in Sri Lanka this morning in churches and hotels that were blown up on Easter Sunday. This is a far less fearful thing, folks. Far less fearful thing. So if that will help seal your commitment today, please feel free to do that while we're singing this song. Those words, that's the story of Easter right there. Strongholds bowing to the Savior. I can't wait to see every form of sin bow at the knee of Jesus. Just have to actually submit itself to the power of Jesus. That power can be lived every day. Every day you have that power if you have Jesus in your life and in your heart. Now, Peter comes to the end of that meal, and I'm sure that he's kind of shaken a little bit. You know, he's "Lord, I am in. I'm going to follow you." And then he kind of walked away. And in the next hour or two, while that memory was strong, he kind of probably went, "Well, now what? Now what? Now what?" We're always asking, "Now what?" Right? You might walk away from today. You make this decision. You're like, "Now what? Am I going to have a glowing halo? Now what?" No, now you're going to be able to live in the power of Jesus Christ every day. Strongholds will not have their hold on you if you're living in the power of Jesus every day. So that's what Easter's all about. So glad you joined us today. Couple things for you. For some of you, this is a paper Bible. I know some of you are long past paper, you're digital people, but you might not have a paper Bible, and that's helpful for you. We have some on the table. They are free for you to take. We also, from Palm Sunday last week, have several of these palm crosses left. We have them on the back tables as well as the tables as you leave. It's possible that you're seeing a grandparent today, aunt, uncle, someone who hasn't been able to get out to church, and they just might really love receiving one of these. So feel free to take as many as you need to hand out to your family and friends. Or if you weren't with us and you want one yourself, feel free. So, Father God in heaven, thank you so much for Jesus. Thank you for this King who rules over every stronghold in our lives. Thank you for the decisions we've made today to follow you, to love you, to say, yes, Lord, I love you more than these. Whatever the these is, we trust you and we believe in you with all sincerity. In Jesus' name, we pray and we pray always. Amen. Go enjoy your Easter. We'll see you. Darkness fades into new beginnings.